The grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you on this Good Friday evening. My hope is that you have been able to celebrate in remembrance and thanksgiving Good Friday throughout the day. As we begin worship, I remind you that Good Friday is a time when we give thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we enter into worship, let us enter in solemnly, but also in a spirit of thanksgiving.
Good evening. My name is Bob Fuchs, and I'm the associate pastor at First United Methodist Church's Brighton campus and the campus pastor at our Whitmore Lake campus. When I was growing up, Good Friday was something that was dark and somber. You see, my mom made us stay at home. She wanted us to be quiet, to remember that Jesus was crucified and that the world became dark for 3 hours. See, we weren't allowed to go out and play, and in fact, we weren't even allowed to stay inside and play. In my mom's eyes, it was one way that we could show respect and reflect on how Jesus' earthly life ended. I find that it was very difficult for me to stay still for 3 hours, and in fact, that still holds true today. For me, taking part in a Good Friday church service allows me to focus on that end of Jesus' human life. The music, it feels melancholy and haunting. The prayers reflect the frailty of human existence, and the gospel readings provide an account of the final dark time in Jesus' human life. This evening, we'll be hearing scriptures from Mark's gospel, readings that end with the death of Jesus. Now, for all of us, Good Friday 2020 may bring the opportunity for even deeper reflection. I don't have to tell you that this Good Friday is not like any other. See, my mom wanting us to stay home for those 3 hours seems ironic today. Most of us are staying at home. Now, ordinarily, it may be difficult to find the time to remember that last day of Jesus' life. The busyness of the world that usually fills our day, it's been replaced for many of us with a directive to stay at home, to stay away from others. It's to try and keep the virus from spreading, from overwhelming our medical facilities, from leading to even more death. There's an uncertainty in the air. Fear and sorrow is commonplace, as is that sense of isolation. With so many businesses closed, with restaurants limited to carry out, and with physical distancing, we're losing our sense of normalcy. We know how things are supposed to be. We know how things were, and we wonder what the future holds for us. We're facing a crisis with an unknown outcome. When we look at Good Friday through the lens of an active pandemic that has changed our way of life, we may get just a small glimpse of what the disciples experienced when Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, beaten, and crucified. Their world changed from something they believed in to a world with an unknown future. It is not an easy story to hear. There's betrayal, desertion, and denial, and that's just when we're talking about Jesus' friends. The Gospel of Mark tells the story simply. There's not a lot of emotion. Jesus let out a loud cry and died. That's how Mark tells the end of Jesus' life. Jesus told the disciples that he would suffer many things, be rejected and killed. Those closest to him, the disciples, were part of that suffering. Judas betrayed him. The disciples, they scattered, and Peter denied him, rejected him. Through it all, Jesus remained steadfast, giving up his life. The disciples, they had seen miracles, healing, feeding of thousands. Jesus was known throughout the region, and just a few days ago, their teacher was celebrated to the shouts of Hosanna. They were proclaiming Jesus as king. And now he was being punished, accused, crucified. His ministry, was it ending with his death? What would they do now? In his book, Mosaic, Shane Stanford notes that For the disciples, their next steps, they're uncertain. Their world shattered. Their hearts aching. They wonder, why go on at all? But their faith gives them an inner strength, and they know life must continue. Besides, Jesus would have expected no less. The disciples went from a world where they were part of the entourage of a gifted teacher to one where they would be viewed as a follower of a fallen king. They were scared. For us today, in this time of crisis, how do we respond? Do we respond impulsively, like the person who drew a sword when Jesus was arrested, attacking the authorities? Are we betraying others like Judas, putting another at risk, not understanding that love that is right in front of us? Are we like those religious leaders, using our power to falsely accuse, to promote our agenda? Are we like those Roman guards, mocking what we don't understand? Or are we reacting like the guard who finally understood who Jesus was when he proclaimed, "Truly, this man was God's son"? Or maybe, just maybe, we're behaving like the women who stayed throughout this ordeal, staying at a distance, at a distance. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing today, isn't it? We're all supposed to be staying at a distance in our homes. We're not hiding. We're not fleeing. It's to stay safe. Now, before this pandemic, for some of us, our world seemed pretty comfortable. For others, though, daily life was a struggle. It was a challenge. Now, I've heard it said that this virus is a great equalizer. You see, we're all supposed to be sheltered in place. We're all supposed to be experiencing that same disconnect that many people experience every single day. And it is a reminder that we're called to stand with those who are suffering as we all deal with this struggle. Stanford says, we rush through these last days of the Lenten season too quickly. I don't like death. I don't like the dark. I don't like loneliness. We want to rush to Easter. Now, initially, I believe that I should look to what the world will be when the current crisis nears its end, not living in today, but in the future. I wanted to move past this virus outbreak to when I could be free again. And you may feel the same way. But I've realized since then that I may have had it wrong. You see, we have to go through the pain, the unknown. We have to remember the loss and pain of Good Friday. Now, I know it may be difficult to feel hope right now. Like the disciples, we don't know what is going to happen next. Believe, though, that there is a love stronger than death, that we can withstand whatever the forces of evil do against it, and that it can hold suffering even as it struggles to overcome it. Believe that the love of Jesus still exists, and God is ever present, especially in these darkest times. Our faith can give us an inner strength, and we know that life will continue. Besides, Jesus would expect no less. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 43 through 50. Suddenly, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came with a mob carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests, legal experts, and elders. His betrayer had given them a sign: "Arrest the man I kiss and take him away under guard." As soon as he got there, Judas said to Jesus, "Rabbi." Then he kissed him. Then they came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew a sword and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. Jesus responded, Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like an outlaw? Day after day, I was with you, teaching in the temple, but you didn't arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. And all his disciples left him and ran away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that all who believe in him might be delivered from the power of sin and death and become heirs with him of eternal life. This evening, let us pray for one another and for the world. I will offer guidance for our prayers of intercession and leave a short time of silence for us to lift our prayers to God. Let us pray for the body of Christ, the church, here and throughout the world, for its unity in witness and in service, for all church leaders and ministers and the people whom they serve, that God will confirm the church in faith, increase it in love, and preserve it in peace. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all nations and peoples of the earth, and for those in authority among them, for our president and for the Congress and for the Supreme Court, for the members and representatives of the United Nations, for leaders of all nations, for military personnel and those who wait for them, for all who serve the common good, that by God's help they may seek justice, truth, and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all who suffer and are afflicted in body or in mind. In particular, this evening, we pray for those who have been struck down by the coronavirus. Let us pray for the hungry and the homeless, the destitute and the oppressed, and all who suffer persecution, doubt, and despair. For the bereaved, for prisoners and those in mortal danger, that God will comfort and relieve them, and that God will stir up in us the will and patience to minister to their needs. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us pray for all who have not received the gospel of Christ, for all who have not heard the words of salvation, for all who have lost their faith, for all whose sin has made them indifferent to Christ, for all who actively oppose Christ by word or deed, and for those who persecute his disciples, for all who in the name of Christ have persecuted others, that God will open their hearts to the truth and lead them to faith and obedience. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us commit ourselves to God and pray for the grace of a holy life, that with all who have departed this life and have died, it is the peace of Christ. And those whose faith is known to God alone, may we be counted worthy to enter into the fullness of the joy of our Lord and receive the crown of life in the day of resurrection. Lord, hear our prayer. Eternal God of unchanging power and light, look with mercy on your whole church and on your people. Bring to completion your saving work so that the whole world may see the fallen lifted up, the old made new, and all things brought to perfection by him through whom all things were made, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
The reading today is from Mark 15, verses 16 through 20. The soldiers led Jesus into the courtyard of the palace, known as the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole company of soldiers. They dressed him up
and a purple robe, and they called together the whole company of soldiers. They saluted him. "Hey, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him with a stick. They spit on him and knelt before him to honor him. When they had finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. They led him out to crucify him.
We pray now the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is a reading from Mark chapter 15, verses 21 to 32. Simon, a man from Cyrene, father of Alexander and Rufus, was coming in from the countryside. They forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means skull place. They offered him a drink of wine mixed with myrrh, but Jesus declined it. They crucified him. They divided his clothes, casting lots to see who would get what. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The official notice of his charges read, "King of the Jews." They crucified 2 outlaws with him, one on his left and one on his right. People passing by insulted him and shook their heads and said, "Weren't you the one who was going to tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself, climb down from that cross." In a similar way, the chief priests were insulting Jesus among themselves, along with the legal experts. "He saved others," they said. "Why can't he save himself? Let Christ, King of Israel, climb down from that cross. Then we'll see and we'll believe." Even those crucified with Jesus insulted him.
Hear the word of God according to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. At the 6th hour, darkness came over the whole land until the 9th hour. And at the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he had died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." We conclude this Good Friday worship with a tolling of the bell 33 times in commemoration of the blessed life of Jesus.